مضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has made it possible for us to reconvene today after a while to continue to read a book which is a compilation of the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam by Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. In it, the Imam combined or compiled 40 narrations, 42 specifically, 42 ahadith, each of which is like had been read to us in the Muqaddimah, and regarding some of them, each of them is a pillar from the pillars of knowledge as far as Islam is concerned. Each of those hadiths. For example, the first hadith has to do with all actions, and it is connected to the acceptance or the rejection of the action. And that is the first hadith, the hadith of Amir al-Mu'minin Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, the hadith of intention, wherein the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. So this hadith is very important. It has to do with everything the Muslim does. So the same applies to every hadith in this book. Today, inshallah, we'll be reading the hadith of Shaddad ibn Awf al-Ansari radiallahu anhumah. And that is the 17th hadith in this book. In it, Al-Imam al-Nawawi said alayhi rahmatullah that an Ya'la an Abi Ya'la Shaddad ibn Awf an Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qala anna Allah kataba al-ihsana ala kulli shay'in idha qataltum فأحسنوا القتلة وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبح وليحب أحدكم شطرته فليرح ذبيحته. لفضل عليه الصلاة والسلام فإن الله كتب على كل شيء كتب الإحسان على كل شيء. إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبحة وليحب أحدكم شفرته فليرح ذبيحته. سيدنا النووي سيد علي رحمة الله رواه مسلم. This hadith is from the hadith of the companion radiallahu anhuma Abu Ya'la شداد بن عوف المثابت الأنصاري رضي الله عنهما. This companion Shaddad ibn Aus, some of the scholars say that his kunya is Abu Abdurrahman. Many others like Imam Ahmad Ali Rahmatullah, Imam Muslim and others, they say that his kunya is Abu Ya'la. The meaning of the kunya is to, in English they say it is an agnomen. That means taking a name and attending that name as the son of so and so, like saying the son of so and so, like the father of so and so. So Abu Fulan ibn Fulan. So when you hear Abu Abdurrahman, what it means, the father of Abu, the father of Abdurrahman. So the system of naming ourselves like this is referred to as Sakani. Kunya. So one can be Abu Abdurrahman, Abu Dar, Abu, all of that. So, and we have known that in the whole of the Ahadith we have read in this book, there is no companion except that he had a kunya. Even when we read the Ahadith, the Hadith of the two Tabi'in, amongst the Tabi'in who came to Abdullah ibn Umar to ask about Ma'bad ibn al-Juhani. Al-Imam al-Hilwari and his second. The two of them had kunya. They had kunya. So it is from the sunnah of Islam that somebody has a kunya. It is from the sunnah of Islam that somebody has a kunya. And that the Muslims are commonly known as kunas. There are books specifically written about the kunas of companions. Companions, their kunas are compiled. One of those who have done that is Imam al-Nasai, Ali Ahmad. And before him, Imam Muslim. They had compilation of kunas. So if people compile books about the kunyas of companions, the kunyas of tabi'in, the kunya, it means it's normal thing, the common thing in the ummah, that people had kunas. So that the issue is, if you want to take the kunya from the children, from the names of your children, you would have to take that with your first child. So if you have a child whose name is Abdurrahman, you have another child whose name is Abdullah, you can't be Abu Abdullah if you have a first child whose name is Abdurrahman. Except if you had been Abu Abdurrahman before Abu Abdullah, before you get back to Abdurrahman, your second child. So that would be being unfair to Abdurrahman. If you leave him and then take Abdullah as the appendage that you attend to your name when you take kunya. And that was the case with many other people, like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullahi, Abu Abdullah. His first child is Saleh. Ulama say, he had that kunya before he gave birth to his first child, Saleh. So then in that case, it's not a problem. But if you are born, if you are Abu Abdurrahman, and your first child is Abdullah, and you only took that kunya after you had had the child, Abdurrahman, you'll be being unfair to you. Rahman, you leave him and you take Abdullah as your kunya. Except again, if you have a female, her name is Zainab Masala, but you also want to keep the name also under hijab, as she is under hijab. It's not wrong practically to take kunya by taking the names of women, because there are some of the companions who did that. Like Tamim ibn Awf al-Dari radiallahu anhu. Tamim ibn Awf al-Dari, his kunya is Abu Ruqayya, and he is popularly known for that. In fact, in his hadith we have in this week, so it started with that, and Abu Ruqayya Tamim ibn Awf al-Dari. So there are companions like that, and there are from the scholars those who took their kunas. But there are few who took kunyas from females. So if you like to choose what was common amongst them, which was that they took kunya from male names, is better. Now, if you like to say, oh no, I don't, if this is not wrong, let me also take a kunya by the name of a female. But at the same time, you want to hide the name of your female child. But to keep the name of the female child hidden and unknown is safer and best for us. So if you don't want to take the name of that girl, your first child is a female, as your kunya, then you are not taking any of the names of your male children that comes after her. You will not take any of the names of the children that come after her. So if you want to take a male name, take another male that's not from the names of your children, so that you will not be being unfair to her, because she has a right in the affair. So some of the scholars say that Shaddad is Abu Abdurrahman, but he is more popularly known with what Abu Ya'la, because the name of his first child is Ya'la. So Ya'la is his first child. He had about 5 children, according to some of the scholars. One of them is Ya'la, he had Muhammad, he had Al-Mundur. His father, we said, radiallahu anhuma, because his father, Aus ibn Thabit, is also from amongst the companions. He was from those who fought in the Battle of Badr, and Allah took his life in the Battle of Badr. His father, Aus ibn Thabit, the father of Shaddad, Abu Ya'la, died in the Battle of Uhud. He's from amongst those who we expect that they are martyrs, inshallah, in that Battle of Uhud. So, Abu Ya'la, Shaddad, ibn Aus ibn Thabit al-Ansari. Shaddad is from the Ansar. That's why his name, the word al-Ansari, is attended to. So the one who has repeated this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that Anna Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qala, that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء. He said that Allah سبحانه وتعالى كتب الإحسان على كل شيء. If you say إن الله كتب الإحسان, that Allah has pre-decreed good or wellness or goodness upon everything, it could be right. It could be right. If you say, Inna Allah kataba al-ihsan, Allah has prescribed ihsan. If you say, Inna Allah kataba al-ihsan, Allah has ordained ihsan, it could be right. If you say, Inna Allah kataba al-ihsan ala kulli shay, that Allah has prescribed, He has ordered that you must be nice to everything. But the second one is that which is right. But the two of them are meanings that could be given if we don't have an evidence to say this is what it means. But here we have evidences, inshallah, to say that إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Here in this hadith, it does not mean that Allah, in this hadith does not mean that إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَّرَ الْإِحْسَانَ, does not mean that here. It does not mean قَدَر here. It does not mean preordainment here. Kitaba here, writing here, is referring to prescription. And the two has been used in the Quran. In some places, Kitaba will refer to Qadar. And in some places in the Quran, Kitaba will refer to us, will be referring to ordering us or prescribing something to us, making something lawful or unlawful, making something obligatory upon us. The first example I would like to quickly use regarding that in this hadith, to say that إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ could mean إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَّرَ الْإِحْسَانَ, that Allah preordained or predecreed that everything we should be nice to everything, or that it prescribed niceness upon everything, goodness upon everything, is what Allah said in the Quran. That كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ عَنَا وَرُسُلِي,
إن الله قوي عزيز. إذ لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من عاد الله ورسوله لو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم. So these people كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان. In their hearts Allah has inscribed iman. But where we are going to the verse that comes after that, that كتب الله العزل بنا أنا ورسلي, that Allah has predecreed, Allah has preordained, that surely it is him and his messenger that will come victorious. So كتب الله العزل بنا أنا ورسلي is talking about preordainment. These people also is also talking about preordainment. أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. It's also talking about preordainment. Allah has preordained iman in the hearts of these people. So kitaba could refer to as preordainment. مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنَّ. This kitaba is also talking about preordainment. So writing could be referring to preordainment in the Quran. So how do we know? We know that in the context that the word appears makes us know where it is talking about preordainment. And in other places it is talking about prescription. It says إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Certainly the salah is something that is prescribed at 6 hours for the Muslims. Hours are fixed. The salat is prescribed at 6 hours. So here, the salat or the kitaba here, kitaba makruha, is referring to what? Prescription. Order. So, also the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used this word so much. When he was talking about salatul tarawih, he performed it some days and he did not come out on the day that followed. The people went to him, what did he say? He says, Khashitu an yuktaba alaykum. This hadith is in the Bukhari and Muslim. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, Khashitu an yuktaba alaykum. I am afraid, I fear that it becomes written for you, that it becomes prescribed for you, ordained for you as an obligation. So, kitaba could refer to as free decree, and kitaba could come for being ordered, prescription. Do something by Allah subhanahu. So which one is he talking about here? Here we say it is talking about prescription. How do we know that it is talking about prescription? You see, because of the example he gave to us, alayhi salatu wasalam, his appetite is similar to Plata. So very keen, keen word. So he's talking about what? Prescription. That the prescription as far as killing something like this, the killing is done well. So وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَةَ. Very slaughter, make sure you slaughter it. It says إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That is prescribed. Allah has prescribed that upon everything, all of us the Muslims, we must show goodness to everything. So Allah has prescribed. If you translate and say Allah has preordained, you are wrong. And what shows that you are wrong is in this hadith. So you say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah has prescribed. Allah has prescribed al-ihsan on everything. So, and this ihsan that he has prescribed is the same thing that he said to us, alayhi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Says إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. The same thing. So this verse is a shahid for this part of the hadith. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah orders. What does he order? Al-adl. Fairness. And what? Al-ihsan. Being nice. Being good. Allah orders it. So this hadith is also saying that this verse is saying, or vice versa. Also Allah says, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Be nice to people. Be nice to everything. So أَحْسِنُ it does not restrict you to people. So أَحْسِنُ means everything. If you ask what is the evidence, you say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَتَذَا الْإِحْسَانِ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. So Allah has written, Allah has ordered that the Ihsan is his وَأَحْسِنُ. This is why some of the scholars say that when Jibril alayhi salam was asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that فَأَخْبُرْنِي عَلِي الْإِحْسَانِ, they say it is because Ihsan, Ihsan, Ihsan is in a lot of verses in the Quran. So what does that Ihsan mean? That is what Jibril was asking. Because he said, أَخْبُرْنِي عَلِي الْإِحْسَانِ. An Ihsan that we know, أَلِفْ وَاللَّا مِنْ أَحَدْ. We know that Ihsan. So then what is he telling you about it? إِحْسَانِ يَدِنْ أَهَلْ وَأَحْسِنُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ عَلَىٰكُمْ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَأَحْسِنُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. What is that Ihsan? So he asked, عليه الصلاة والسلام, he asked the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, أخبرني عن الإحسان. Tell me about that Ihsan. So when the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, to him, that أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه تراك. But that Ihsan is أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. That you serve Allah, you give devotion to Allah سبحانه وتعالى, كأنك تراه, as you will see Allah. This is the first level of Ihsan with respect to Allah. Because this hadith and that hadith makes us understand that there are two kinds of Ihsan, depending on to whom that Ihsan is directed. This hadith makes us understand that the hadith we are reading today, أن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء, is talking about between these creatures. But the response that the Prophet gives to Jibril alayhi salatu wa salam is with respect to Ihsan as far as Allah is concerned. Ihsan as far as Allah is concerned, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراه. But you serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see him. فإن لم تكن تراه, and because you don't see him, since you don't see him, فإنه يراك, he sees you. So two levels. Either you serve him as if you are seeing him, or you serve him as if you are not seeing him, but he's seeing you. The first level is better and greater in level than the second one. To serve Allah as if you see him is the best. To the best kind of Ihsan with respect to Allah. So that the hadith, this hadith we are reading, is talking about Ihsan with respect to creatures. So إِلَى مَا فِيَهَا means there are two terms of Ihsan. In terms of who is this Ihsan directed to? We say Ihsan as far as Allah is concerned. That is the way we find the hadith of Jibreel. Ihsan as far as the creatures are concerned. That is the way we find the hadith of who? Shaddad, Ibn Awf, Ibn Thabit al-Ansari. So that is the way that Allah has also ordained. That is talking about. All of it is contained in these verses wa ahsinu inna allaha yuhibbul muhsinin. Inna allaha ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. Both ihsan, both kinds of ihsan is contained in these verses of the Quran. But these two hadiths make us understand that there are ihsan in two forms, in terms of who is that ihsan directed to. Also, in terms of the meaning, Ihsan is also divided into two. Wa ahsinu, this figure is figuratul amr. And this statement, inna Allah kataba al-ihsan ala kulli shay. Kitaba is also used by the scholars of Usul to indicate something that is obligatory. So when we say, kutiba alaykum al-qital, Allah has ordered, it's a matter of what? Obligation. that will fight jihad. Then there is a societal where we are called to come out of jihad. The same thing applies. When it is between alaykum and siyam, it means that siyam is what? Obligatory. Don't think that inna Allah kataba alayka kataba al-ihsan ala kulli shay'in. What it means, as a matter of obligation, it must be nice to everything. But we are going to say, there are levels of it in terms of whether the ihsan is obligatory or in terms of whether that ihsan is what super obligatory. And they differentiate between the two. In terms of the meaning of that ihsan. So some ihsan is the obligatory and some different ihsan is the super obligatory, recommended. For example, the ihsan to our parents is obligatory. It says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَدِّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. This ihsan is obligatory. So it's not like ihsan of you need to go back and want to do anything, but at least don't have to carry this thing. That's super obligatory ihsan. But obligatory ihsan, and that's what? Super obligatory ihsan. So in terms of its meaning, ihsan is also divided into two. That which is obligatory, and that which is also what? Super obligatory. One brother saw an old man in Haram. The man is old. He can't walk straight. The man can't walk straight. The old man can't walk standing straight. He has to walk prostrating in a bowing position. He has a huge amount of money. If you calculate it, over half a million in foreign currency. Put it in the man's hand. I'm sure the man won't know what he has collected. Over $5,000. Put it to him in front. So this kind of ihsan, being nice to this old man, and people I'm sure are just saying, no, this is subhanAllah. This kind of ihsan is what? That's how you are. It's super obligatory. So, when Allah kataba al-ihsan ala kulli shay'in, with respect to the meaning that that thing gets in terms of directing ihsan to it. So as long as making ihsan is obligatory, it will be obligatory if the one to whom we are directing ihsan is that thing directing it to it is what? Obligatory. It will be superobligatory if the ihsan we are directing it is what? To itself superobligatory. But in terms of who it is that to whom it is directed, not in terms of its meaning, ihsan is in two forms. Ihsan directed to Allah. Ihsan directed to creatures, with members and others. And here could be also the first one, ihsan directed to Allah. It is respect to perfecting our acts of worship. That's why I said, Anta'bud Allah annaka tarah. So the way you worship Allah, perfecting ibadah, and ibadah cannot be perfected. Or that we can say the perfection of ibadah is in doing two things as far as that ibadah is concerned. Having ikhlas and that we should have what? The child. That we should follow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. This is ihsan to Allah that he is talking about. When we make acts of worship, there should be ikhlas. And then it should be in the way the Prophet had said. So this is ihsan to Allah. But ihsan to other human beings is in all the things that we know. So to make us understand it better, the Prophet gave us an example. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's his way. That's his way. To make things clear to us, to give examples. There are some ahadith we have right here. The Prophet gave us examples. To make us understand what he tells us in a single phrase. Inna Allah kataba al-ihsan ala kulli shay. It suffices. Allah has prescribed that you must be nice to everything. Does it not suffice? It suffices. But to make us understand it more, so he says, alayhi salatu wa salam, says, فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ أَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَةَ. So when you kill, imma someone kills a person, he has to be killed. As a matter of, itself. Or someone leaves Islam, because he says, alayhi salatu wa salam, that مَنْ بَدَّ لَدِينَهُ فَقْتُلُوهُ. One who leaves his deen, Islam, kill him. And he had said to us in one of the hadiths we had read in this book, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَحِلُّ دَمُّ مُرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ إِلَّا مِنْ صَلَاةٍ مِنْ إِحْدَى الصَّلَاةٍ. So the blood of the Muslim is not legal to be taken except in one of three cases. And the first one he mentioned, alayhi salatu salam, is what? As-tayyibu al-zani. And then who? An-nafsu bin-nafsi. And then the second one, at-tariku dinihi al-mufariku lil-jama'ah. So these people, if they are to be killed, فَأَحْسِنُ الْقِتْلَةَ. That is the connection between the hadith. When you want to kill those people, make the killing to be well. Make the killing to be well. Make it kill them well. Here, one of the scholars had said that the best way to kill a human being is to cut off his head. He said, because that is what Allah talked about that we should do. Because the verse or the hadith that إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ also applies to even the kuffar, because they are part of kulli shay. So when you want to even kill a kafir, kill him well. So it says, فَضَرْبَ الرِّقَابِ, to cut off their head. It says, فَضْرِبُوهُمْ فَوْقَ الْأَعْنَاقِ, cut off their heads from their necks. So when you kill, when a person is to be killed, so it's really an application for all those who say the best way to kill a person is electrocution. Allah says cut off his head. Means to hang the person is also not the best way to kill him. The best way to kill a person is cut off the head. Once you cut off the head, everything will end there. Yes, pop. And that's why when the Prophet Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was talking about the punishment for the grave, what did he say? He said that for those people in the Shuhada who died on the battlefield, that the splash, he used the spark. So what they see is just that spark. So one of the scholars had said, because he had told us that we should kill well, he will not say that we should cut off heads. Is other than it is better than it. What about those people who are stoned to death? He said that they are stoned to death, they are killed like that, to feel that pain for a reason. So he said, aha. It means that if there is a reason to kill people, to kill a person who is due to be killed, he's talking about authority and he's paid for this. Most of the God all this in Shia start killing people. They are doing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Killing them. Habitually. No. So if a person has to be killed by authority, found guilty, what it means to achieve by its killing will determine how it will be killed. Like it happened at the time of the Prophet Muhammad. The Imam al-Nasa'i reported the hadith. Some people from Irana, they came to listen to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to accept Islam. Who accepted Islam? At least, the things, Sayyidah Sa'ali, Asalini, Bima'ahum, Wa Amwalahum, Allah, Fakil Islam. So when they have accepted Islam, you don't want me to start finding out about them again. So Asalini, Bima'ahum, Wa Amwalahum. But they fell ill in Medina. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, should I bring the camels of sadaqah or zakah? So I would drink from their urine and their milk to get cured From the illness, you see, look at it, it's not that those camels, because to drink the urine of camels, this is evidence that the urine of camels is not from Najasa. If it is from Najasa, he will not tell them to drink it. At least that. Because touching Najasa itself is prohibited. It's a sin to touch Najasa. So why will he tell them to drink it? So the urine of camels is pure. This hadith is the evidence. And the milk of camels is pure. This hadith is also the evidence. Why did people became okay? They wanted to return to that place. Because they are still themselves and want to build. So when they got to the road, they brought this Muslim and they cut off his tongue. They tied him on the phone, on the cross, so to speak. They crucified him. And the means go to the Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet said, I am going to look for them. Dispatch to that of a group of soldiers. A dispatch. Go and look for them. So they chased them and got them. They were ordered to also crucify them. Cut off their ears and their nostrils. Remove their eyes. And they were there until they died. So that another group of people will not do that to the Muslims. And because that was how they killed. They killed like that to punish the one they killed. Because Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah said, if someone kills someone badly, not because he wants to punish him before he kills him, he doesn't want to say that's not a way of killing him. He said it is not permissible to kill him in other than just cutting off his head. But that if it was that he wanted to use first of all punish him and then kill him, then he must be killed like that too. Punishment and then he attains death. So when there is value, there is excellence, virtue in killing a group of people or a person who is guilty in a particular manner, then such people are to be killed in that manner. That is the case with those who the zina, the married, the adultery, they are to be killed in the way described by Sharia. And the people who kill badly, punish the person that they have killed, should be killed badly, one to punish them to be further, and then to show to others that don't do that, what this person has done. So, but if it's not regarding a person, maybe a trauma, trying to kill a voracious dog. The dog is barking on the street. Trying to attack you. You want to kill it, kill it well. This hadith applies to it. You want to kill an ant, kill it well. You want to kill a rat, kill it well. Everything you want to kill, kill it well. But kill, what is our potential to? Is employed regarding things that you are not teaching that thing. And that's why it has come differently with verb. The verb has to be, you not know, to keep on you are potential in the law. You are the bastard in the law. Or sharp. Make sure that the means you employ as zibha is the hay'a. Fi'la. It's used, ulama say it is ismu hay'a. How you do something. So kill it well, make the act of killing to be well. If you are killing. If you are slaughtering, make the act of slaughtering to be well. So look at our religion. Nice to everybody and everything. So the other does, alayhi salatu wasalam. But إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبحة. So when you kill, kill well. Kill in a manner that is good. وإذا قتلتم فإذا قتلتم when you kill وإذا ذبحتم then when you do what? When you slaughter, he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, ahsinu al-zulhata. Al-Imam Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi, alayhi rahmatullah, So this hadith is evidence that it is not, it is prohibited to kill or to slaughter an animal in a bad manner. So you don't kill a rat badly. And then you don't slaughter a sheep badly. From slaughtering a sheep badly is killing other animals in front of you, so you are going to kill it too. So killing it badly. Or sharpening the knife in front of that animal. The Prophet saw someone doing that. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Saw a man grabbed an animal, put it on the ground, placed his leg on it, and then he was sharpening the knife. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, afala qabla hadha? Afala qabla hadha? Should this not be before this? That is, should you not sharpen the knife before you bring the animal and set it? So he grabbed the animal, put it on the ground, placed his leg on it. It was sharpening. Should it not be before the animal is brought? Before he starts doing that, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, atuidu an tumitaha mawtatain. Atuidu an tumitaha mawtatain. In another way, he said, atuidu an tumitaha mawtat. You want to kill it many times? You want to kill it before it's dead. I have seen this happening before. Like that. The animal for 4 days could not stand up. Because it's so one didn't kill it right in front. May Allah forgive all those who are there that day. The Prophet said, alayhi salam, afala qabla hadha? Atuidu an tumitaha mawtat? You want to kill it many times before it's dead. Another narration that is similar to that. Someone wanted to kill an animal. And he saw the Prophet Muhammad. And he was asking, O Messenger of Allah, should I show mercy to this one too? He went to kill the animal. He was asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should mercy be shown to animals too? And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, وَشَّاءْ إِنْ رَحِمْتَهَا رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ وَشَّاءْ إِنْ رَحِمْتَهَا رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ Even the sheep, إِنْ رَحِمْتَهَا, if you show mercy to it, رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ, Allah will show mercy to you. Animal. Here there are communities where sheep or animals like it are killed. People catch them and suffer them. Catch them and they start beating this predator in Sharia. In some places, south Nigeria, and some places, they put animals into a sack, tie the sack and beat the animal to death in the sack. That's how they kill dogs and cut those who eat these animals. They kill them with wickedness. They put them in the subhanAllah. What kind of humanity do you think these people? Will they still have their feelings? Put the animal in the sack, tie the sack, put it on the ground, they get a pistol. Or is it called a matter? They beat the animal to death, subhanAllah. And he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, wa shaat in rahimtaha rahimakallah. They forgot that for a dog, a woman became from the people of Al-Jannah. It's an adulterous woman. From an animal, a dog. And the same thing for another man. He was thirsty. Severely thirsty. So he went into the well to get water for himself. When he came out, he saw the dog, also thirsty. He said, oh, this dog is showing what I just said. So he went and put his leg into it and brought some water out. And the dog had opportunity to get some water. He was forgiven for that. He was forgiven. So he said, alayhi salam. Washa'at, ayya rahimtaha, rahimakallah. The Imam al-Bukhari said that hadith in his book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Also in a hadith that is similar to that. The Prophet said, alayhi salam. اتقوا الله في هذه البهائم المعجمة. Fear Allah regarding these البهائم المعجمة. These animals, these livestock, these بهائم, the animals that move on the ground on their feet. المعجمة that are not able to speak. Can this pretend speak? He says, fear Allah regarding them. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, فَرْكَبُوهَا صَالِحَةً وَقُلُوهَا صَالِحَةً أَوْ وَقِلُوهَا صَالِحَةً. He says, فَرْكَبُوهَا صَالِحَةً. When you ride them well. That is, be fair to those animals. Fear Allah when you are upon those animals. وَقُلُوهَا. When you feed them well, salihat. Or wakiluha. When you load them, make them well. Before you're loading the animals, you think they can't carry. When you load them, be careful. Fear Allah. Why? Inna Allah kataba al-ihsan ala kulli shay. One day someone. This hadith, اتقوا الله في هذه البهائم المعجمة, it has a kissa. The Prophet came from his masjid, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he saw an animal loaded to the brim, standing upright in the morning. He came in the evening, saw the animal again. He was asking, who has this animal? You load it and you didn't move it, it leaves it there. So he says, اتقوا الله في هذه البهائم المعجمة. Fear Allah regarding these animals that are not able to speak. فَرْكَبُوهَا صَالِحَةً وَكِلُوهَا صَالِحَةً. When you ride them, be nice to them. And then when you do it, when you feed them or when you lead them. What is reported in the hadith is وَكِلُوهَا. But some of the ulama say no, the right word is وَكِلُوهَا. In the mention some of the things, you can read this in the first volume of Surah Al-Fatihah. It says, وَكِلُوهَا صَالِحَةً. When you meet them, see Allah regarding them. So the same thing where you want to kill them. فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَةَ وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَةَ. And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ. Let each and every one of you sharpen his blade. Sharpen his blade, don't forget, don't sharpen it in front of the animal you want to keep. Sharpen his blade, don't do that. Make sure you sharpen the blade properly. وَلْيُحِدَّ. This normal amr is there, it means it is obligatory. It says, وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ. Let each and everyone who wants to slaughter sharpen that by which he wants to slaughter, sharpen it properly. It says, فَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. So let what you are killing have a sense of ease. Make it easy for what you are killing. ذَبِيح, فَعِيم, what you are killing. Make it have a sense of peace. فَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. What is clean, let it have a sense of peace. So when it says, يَكْفُرُ وَلَا تَعْفِرُ, there is no restriction to it. So making things easy. So make things easy. Killing such animals. There is similar report by Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. He said that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ فَعْدِلُ. When you judge, you have opportunity to adjudicate among the people, or you are a judge, a friend. He says, فَعْدِلُ. Be fair. Then he says, where is the appetite? When you kill something, he says, for ahsinu, kill it well. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُحْسِنٌ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنُونَ. Because Allah is good. Allah is favorable to people. His favor is merciful. يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنُونَ. He likes those who are good to people. So this is from the evidence that Allah is al-Muhsin. That he says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُحْسِنٌ. As he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَيِّبٌ. So we say, التَيِّب is from the names of Allah. Here too we say, المُحْسِن is from the names of Allah. This hadith is evidence. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُحْسِنٌ. يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا تَيِّبًا. Here he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُحْسِنٌ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Imam al-Tabrani has reported the hadith, and it is authentic. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah has ordered, Allah has prescribed that we be nice to everything, or in respect of everything. فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْفِتْلَةُ. So the way it is, make sure that your act of killing is well. Kill well. He says again, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَةَ. Also, when you slaughter, make sure you slaughter well. وَلْيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ. Let each and every one of us sharpen his blade or his razor properly. And then he said, وَلْفَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. Let your animal doctrine, let it have a sense of what is, sense of relief. The killing itself is not easy. Right? So when you kill well, it is easy for the animal or the person you are killing, as the case may be. You know there are all different places, go? This is Rawah Muslim. Imam Muslim has reported this hadith. Others too have reported it. Al Imam al-Tabarani and others. Alayhim rahmatullah. And the hadith is authentic without doubt. It has a lot of support from many other ahadith and verses of the Quran. Like this one, it says, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ فَأَدِلِمْ. He says, وَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنْ. This is saying that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Just the verse. We ask Allah to make us from the Muhsinin. Inshallah, this is where we set the, if there are few questions we can attend, inshallah. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. فإذا قتلتم أحسنوا القتلة. The best form you can kill them. That's to do with perhaps someone who is in what? Shade. What do you call in English? Hunting. So a hunter, he wants to kill. In the best form you can kill the animal, that is the form you should kill. Shoot. Yes, shoot it, but in the best form. It even means when you set a trap, don't set a trap that will kill the animal badly. Set one perhaps that will just grab it for you. No, I'm not saying you should set a wire. If you set a trap, set it. Okay.
Instead of that trap. And that one can easily. Can you do
me
to tell
you
slaughter
the animal? Badly. But that's why,
if somebody is taking such
a
can you
talk to me? This is
why I know, I
can't do it. So some of those things could be too harsh upon those animals. So we do it in the manner, the easiest manner to catch that thing. What we are saying, we want to kill your ass now, kill it well. I want to kill. It's not his comment. And last of all, I have to attack a person. I want to kill it. We may be looking for this wood. It's not too big. If I eat it all, it's issue. Before you take formal decisions, it may be too late. So the easiest way, but have it in your mind that the best way, as easy as it could be the best way, in the safest. So the easiest, the best, the safest. If people have wires that all around it, there are thorns all around the wire, and they could use a wire that does not need to have thorns and still achieve the result, they should use the one that has thorns. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. The easiest and the less, you know, difficult for the animal.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Can you say
the issue of Bin Ali being fire on those people that are Shiite? I don't know the
authentic terms of the authentic terms. It's authentic.
Okay, now,
using
fire on
Bin Ali, using the Ali for the
purpose of
the
Shiite.
What's the issue? Like Abdullah ibn Abbas, the hadith is saying, the narration is in Sahih Bukhari. People like Ibn Abbas were not comfortable with that. When they discussed with Ali ibn Abi Talib, the ulama said the position of Ali radiallahu anhu is to kill them in a way that brings deterrence to him. What made them to, what made him to do that is that they referred to him as Allah. And that is worse than adultery. So when it is permissible to screen a people to death, it could be permissible to burn them in the fire. So that the companions were not comfortable with that because of the statements of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That Allah alone punishes with fire. In fact, not to punish with fire is to ruin that is more so. Because he had permitted it, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he came out and said, I have permitted you to kill the people with the fire. Do not kill them with the fire. Let the one who has the Lord of the fire alone punish with the fire. So, this is from the realistic reasoning, so to speak, of Ali ibn Abi Talib, that they are being killed, both the public, the victim, so that the people do not refer to him alone as Allah. Not only that, they said the Jibreel alayhi salam heard and had come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They should have actually come to Ali ibn Abi Talib. So these are some of the reasons why they felt that they should be punished in a way nobody has been punished for. So they have there are such realistic reasons. Like Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu believes that anyone who is found cohabiting homosexually with another man, the both of them should be thrown from the tallest building. And as they are landing, we should stone them. You know how well we got that? Because Allah says, Ja'alna aliyah asafilah. So okay, put them in the highest places. Stone them on the ground and then put stones on them. So these are ijtihadat that they have done. Whether they are right or wrong, they have one reward. If they are right, if they are wrong, they have one reward. If they are wrong, they have one reward. If they are right, they have another reward, two rewards. It has not done anything to them. Alayhim rahmatullah. Radiallahu anhu. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
The ayah, Fadri wa Fawqal Amin, in today's warfare, where are we going to cut off men? We shoot and throw bombs. Do we start looking for Fawqal A'naq?
If you can get Fawqal A'naq, it's best. If you can get Fawqal A'naq, it's best that Al-Harb Khida. The war is strategy. So the strategy, the war will determine what strategy to employ. So the strategy to employ is use of bombs, use bombs. Here it is use of armor tanks, use armor tanks. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
The very one who tend to work an animal methodically, may happen to be the same way. Someone, when he pays, then so what should your
advice? Let's advise him, give him a result. That's like the one who wants to shake a girl on the campus and say, ah, man, I don't I want to shake her. There are people like that. You persist in making dua for them that Allah can give them. And you also persist upon talking to them. Some cases, if you just abandoning them, that could solve the problem. You look at the situation and employ that which is best. That will make him change. So if you abandon them, that is when they go off. Don't abandon them. But hygiene and listening, its basic need is what brings the basic and overbearing benefits. If abandoning him will bring the benefit, abandon him. If not abandoning him will bring the benefit, don't abandon him. Alaykum as-salam. It could be true if you allow to eat an animal that is killed is other than slaughtered. It is by hunting, as mentioned, that it will not be killed in all circumstances by slaughtering. So if it is in that case, in the manner permitted in the Sharia, you can eat it. But if it is other cases like the way the kuffar kill those animals we have described, if you put a sheep and kill the animal like that, you will not eat it. You will not eat it. Because that is not the way of their religion. When it says that ta'amuhum hillun lakum, ta'amuhum, that is their slaughtering and the slaughter in the way their religion has taught them to slaughter. It is not their religion. It is not Christianity that taught them to do so. Neither did Judaism teach them to do so. So they have not slaughtered those ones in the ways of their religion that they claim. So, from the animals we have predicted, these animals that fall on the ground. So that will take the ruling of an animal that's killed on the ground. Alaykum as-salam.
Maybe this will be an event for the next person. Animal like a snail, just difficult to be slaughtered. My first question is, must all those animals be slaughtered? And animals like snails, the way it is prepared, doesn't make it.
Okay, what do you do to snails? What do you do to snails? You cut a snail and slaughter it. Okay, what kind of animal is it? Where does it stay most? Is it it's amphibian? Huh? It stays more in the wet regions. In fact, you don't see it except there's wetness. So it really is for water. And everything that's from the water is halal. You can kill it anyhow. He says, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ وَطَعَامُهُ مَتَاعَ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ مَتَاعَ لَكُمْ. So what the meaning it will take is, where does it stay most? So say the snails stay more in water regions, in wet regions, they are considered from those bahar, water-related animals. So it says, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ. So you don't need to slaughter his name. The same thing, the crustaceans, you don't need to slaughter them. The crustaceans from the crabs, for example. Crab is crustacean, okay? You can't bring a crab now to inshallah, bismillah, Allah, Allah. No. It is from Sayyid al-Bahar. Wa ta'amuhu is from ta'am. And all of that. Like fishes. The only thing the ulama had prohibited is to cook a fish on the fire or smoke the fish when it has not died. They say that it is contradictory to this hadith. Some scholars have actually mentioned that. When you cut a fish and the fish is not dead, don't put it on the fire. You either kill it by cutting it, or you leave it to die if you have to smoke it. And then you smoke it after it has died. But to put it, catch it alive like that, like the catfish, is it? That is done now. Most of them, you catch them, you can get them alive. You bring it from the pond and you put it on the fire like that, you are also contradicting that hadith, not to kill the fire. So you either kill it
or you allow it to die, then you find it. It's not fine, inshallah. The final call of my hand. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.